splits my lip all over again as I turn my face to rest my cheek above Zayden's strong, steady heartbeat. Hi, Garrick. He blanches, dropping his swords to his sides, but covers it with a quick smile. You've looked better, Violet, but I'm glad you're alive.
Me too.
It's chaos up there, Garrick tells Zayden, sparing a questioning glance for Dane. Leadership is launching all over the place to get to the border. Then it worked, Zayden states. Varish groans and our heads all whip in his direction. You're turning traitor, he accuses Dane as he struggles to his feet, still holding the wound in his side.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Garrick asks, looking between Dane and Varish.
Your father will be so disappointed.
Varish hisses through bloody, clenched teeth. Coughing up blood means he doesn't have long.
If he already knows what Violet showed me, then I'm the one disappointed in him.
Dane counters, picking up his sword and raising it at Varish.
No, Zayden snarls, not you.
His hand flexes at my back, and shadows wrap around Varish a second before they drag him across the floor. Horror widens his eyes as the strands of black dump him into the chair, then bind his wrists and ankles in place of the shackles.
That honor belongs to Violet if she wants it.
She does, I reply instantly. Zayden shifts his grip, wrapping his arm around my waist and watching my reactions.
I don't know where I can touch you.
That's fine, I promise, gripping the alloy-hilted dagger in my right hand as my left lies uselessly at my side. Dane steps back, lowering his sword as Zayden helps me walk, my feet shuffling over dried patches of my own blood on the stone floor. Varish's eyes narrow despite the pallor of his skin, and Zayden holds me steady as I lift the dagger to his chest with a trembling, weak grip, resting the point above his heart, right between his ribs.
I promised you'd die in this room,
I whisper, but I'm shaking too hard to push the blade home. It takes everything I have just to stay standing. Zayden's hand wraps around mine, and he jabs forward, driving the blade into Varish's heart. I memorize the look on Varish's face as the life fades out of him, just so I can reassure myself that he's really dead when the nightmares inevitably come. I stare and stare and stare as the weight of everything that's happened closes in on me, threatening to steal my air. My throat squeezes shut and my eyes burn with prickling heat as my thoughts spiral. I just killed the vice commandant of the quadrant. What the fuck am I supposed to do now? Go back to class? And Zayden. Zayden risked everything by coming here.
Give us a second and keep Atos breathing, for now, Zayden orders.
And I hear the room clear before he carefully pivots to face me, turning us away from Varish's body.
You're alive. No matter what happened in this room, what was said, you're alive, and that's all that matters.
I didn't break, I whisper. Dane, he saw right before he stabbed Varish, but I didn't break, I promise. I shake my head and my vision blurs and clears as water trickles from my eyes.
I trust you.
He cradles the back of my head, his beautiful gaze boring into mine, swallowing me whole.
But it wouldn't matter to me if you had. We're leaving. I'm getting you the fuck out of here.
I blink. We can't go now. They'll follow us, and Brennan's not ready. My face crumples. You'll forfeit access to Besgaeth's weapons.
I don't give a fuck. We'll figure it out once we're there.
You'll lose everything you've worked for. My voice breaks. Because of me.
Then I'll have everything I need.
He lowers his face, leaning in so he's all I see, all I feel.
I will happily watch Aracia burn to the fucking ground again, if it means you live.
You don't mean that. He loves his home. He's done everything to protect his home.
I do. I'm sorry if you expect me to do the noble thing. I warned you. I'm not sweet or soft or kind. And you fell anyway. This is what you get, Violet. Me. The good, the bad, the unforgivable. All of it. I am yours. His arm wraps around the small of my back, holding me steady and close. You want to know something true? Something real? I love you. I'm in love with you. I have been since the night the snow fell in your hair and you kissed me for the first time. I'm grateful my life is tied to yours because it means I won't have to face a day without you in it. My heart only beats as long as yours does. And when you die, I'll meet Malik at your side. It's a damn good thing that you love me too because you're stuck with me in this life and every other that could possibly follow. My lips part. It's all I've ever wanted, ever needed to hear. I do love you, I admit in a whisper. Glad you didn't forget. He leans in and brushes his lips over mine lightly, careful not to hurt me. Let's get out of here together. I nod.
We have to move, Garrett calls out. Clear the staircase, Zayden orders, and tell Bodhi to track down whatever antidote she and the rest of her squad need. On it, Garrick says.
My squad?
Zayden looks back at me. They're fine, but they were put under guard in the interrogation classroom after they tried to mount a rescue mission yesterday. Can you walk out of here?
I don't know, I answer truthfully. I lost track of what's broken and what Nolan mended. I know my left arm is fractured, plus at least 3 of my ribs on my right side. My hip feels like it's not entirely where it's supposed to be either.
He'll die for his part. He pivots and walks us out of the cell, past Nora's body and into a fucking bloodbath. There are at least 6 bodies between us and the stairwell. He makes quick work of sheathing all my daggers where they belong, but doesn't take the one I still have clutched in my hand. Dane passes him supplies from a nearby locker, and Zayden splints my arm as quickly as possible. I bite down on my torn lip to keep from crying out, and he wraps my ribs over my armor.
Zayden, Garrett calls out from the stairwell. We have a problem.
Fuck, Zayden mutters, glancing between the swords leaned against the wall and me.
I can carry her,
Dane offers. Zayden shoots him a look that promises a slow, painful death. I haven't decided whether or not to let you live yet. You can bet your ass I'm not trusting you with her.
I can walk, I think. But the second I try, the room tilts, and for the first time in my life, I feel weak. That's what the monster did to me in this room. He took my strength.
But he didn't break you, Violet, Liam says softly from the corner of the room, and my chest squeezes tight as he takes a step back toward the shadows, then another.
How about this? I promise the next time I'm beaten for 5 days straight, I'll let you carry me out of the prison, Zayden says, sheathing his swords behind his back.
Thank you, I say,
to both men.
Zayden lifts me into his arms, tucking me tight against his chest without putting pressure on my ribs.
Follow me or die. It's your choice, but make it now.
He tells Dane as shadows surround us, forming a circle of blades as Zayden moves, carrying me up the mage-lit staircase. My head falls onto his shoulder and I wince. But what does the pain matter if we're leaving, if we're both alive? He came.
What kind of problem, Garrick? Zayden asks as we round the corner of the staircase. A general size one, Garrick answers, his hands in the air. My mother's blade is at his throat.
Oh, shit.
I lift my head and Zayden stops cold, his body tensing against mine. Her eyes meet mine from where she stands on the step above Garrick, the lines of her face strained with...
Wait, is that worry?
Violet.
Mom, I blink. It's the first time she said my name since before Parapet.
Who did you kill? She directs the question at Zayden.
Everyone,
he responds unapologetically. She nods, then drops her blade. Garrick breathes in deeply, moving away from her and putting his back to the wall.
Here, she reaches into the rib pocket of her uniform and draws out a vial of clear liquid.
It's the antidote for the serum.
I stare at the vial and my heart speeds from a dull thud to a gallop. How do I know that's what's actually in there?
I would have come sooner if I'd known, my mother says, her voice softening along with her eyes.
I didn't know, Violet. I swear it. I've been in Caldeer for the last week.
So your return is just, what, coincidence? I ask. Her mouth purses and her fingers curl around the vial.
I'd like a moment alone with my daughter.
That's not happening, Zayden counters.
Her eyes harden when she looks at him.
You, of all people, know the lengths I'll go in order to protect her. And since I'm pretty sure you're the reason we're getting reports of dragons dropping wyvern carcasses at every outpost we have along our border, the reason this college is emptying itself of most of the leadership in a rush to contain the problem, the least you can do is give me a chance to say goodbye to her.
You what? My gaze swings to Zayden's.
But he keeps his locked on my mother.
Would have done it sooner, but it took a couple of days to hunt them down and kill them, Zayden replies to her.
You've threatened our entire kingdom.
Her eyes narrow.
Good. You allowed her to be tortured for days. I don't give a shit whether it was by your absence or your negligence. It happened on your watch. 3 minutes, she orders. Now.
3 minutes, I agree.
Zayden's gaze flies to mine.
She's a fucking monster. His voice is soft, but it carries. She's my mother.
He looks like he might fight me for a second, but then he slowly lowers me to stand and braces me against the wall.
3 minutes, he whispers.
And I'll be at the top of this staircase.
That warning is given to my mother as he starts up the steps with Garrick leading the way.
Atos, did you decide to follow?
Apparently, Dane says, waiting a few steps beneath me.
Then fucking follow, Zayden orders.
Dane grumbles, but he marches up the steps, leaving my mother alone with me. She's the picture of composure, her posture straight, her face expressionless as she holds out the vial.
Take it.
You've known what's happening out there for all these years. I white-knuckle my weapon. She steps forward, her gaze jumping from the dagger in one of my hands to the splint on the other, then selects a pocket in my uniform top and slides the vial in.
When you have children, we can discuss the risks you'll take, the lies you'll be willing to tell in order to keep them safe.
What about their children? My voice rises.
Again.
She hooks her arm around my upper back, sliding her hand under my shoulder, and hauls me against her side.
When you're a mother, talk to me about who you're willing to sacrifice so your child lives. Now walk.
I grip my teeth and put one foot in front of the other, fighting the dizziness, the exhaustion, and the waves of pain to climb the stairs.
It's not right to let them die defenseless.
I never said it was.
We take the first turn, climbing slowly.
And I knew you'd never see it our way, never agree with our stance on self-preservation. Markham saw you as his protege, the next head of the scribes, the only applicant he thought smart enough, clever enough to continue weaving the complicated blindfold chosen for us hundreds of years ago. She scoffs.
He made the mistake of thinking you'd be easy to control. But I know my daughter.
I'm sure you think that.
Each step is a battle, jarring my bones and testing my joints. Everything feels abominably loose, yet so tight I might split open from the pressure.
I might be a stranger to you, Violet, but you are far from a stranger to me.
Eventually, you'd discover the truth. Maybe not while in the scribe quadrant, but certainly by the time you made captain or major. When Markham would start bringing you into the fold, as we do with most at those ranks. And then you would unravel everything in the name of mercy or whatever emotion you'd blame, and they would kill you for it.
I'd already lost one child keeping our borders safe, and I wasn't willing to lose another.
Why do you think I forced you into the Riders' Quadrant?
Because you think less of the scribes, I answer.
Bullshit. The love of my life was a scribe.
Steadily, we climb, twisting along the staircase.
I put you into the Riders' Quadrant so you'd have a shot at surviving. And then I called in the favor Ryerson owed me for putting the marked ones into the quadrant.
I stop as the door at the archives level comes into view.
You did what?
She didn't just say what I think she did. She tilts her head to look me in the eye. It was a simple transaction. He wanted the marked ones to have a chance. I gave him the quadrant, as long as he took responsibility for them, in return for a favor to be named at a later date. You were that favor. If you survived Parapet on your own, all he had to do was see that no one killed you outside of challenges or your own naivete your first year. Which he did. Quite a miracle considering what Colonel Atos put you through during war games.
You knew.
I'm going to be sick. I discovered it after the fact, but yes, don't give me that look, she chastises, pulling me up another step. It worked. You're alive, aren't you? Though I'll admit I didn't foresee the mated dragons or whatever emotional entanglement you've involved yourself in. That was disappointing.
It all clicks into place. That night at the tree last year, when he should have killed me for catching the meeting of the marked ones. The challenge where he had every opportunity to exact his revenge on my mother by ending me. And instructed me instead, nearly intervening at threshing. My ribs feel like they're cracking all over again. He's never had a choice when it came to me. His life, the lives of those he holds dearest, has always been tied to mine. And suddenly, I have to know. Are those your knife marks on his back?
Yes. Her tone is bland. It's a tearish cuss. Stop talking. I don't want to hear a single explanation for such an unforgivable act. But of course she doesn't listen. It seems that by putting you into the Rider's Quadrant, all I did was hasten our own end.
She remarks as we climb the last four steps, coming out in the tunnel by the archives.
Zayden reaches for me, and my mother's arm falls away.
I trust you'll use the chaos to get her out, she asks him. But we both know it's an order. Planning on it. He tucks me in against his side. Good. Don't tell me where. I don't want to know. Markham is still in Caldeer with the king. Do with that information what you will.
She looks at Dane, who waits off to the side with Garrick, his face ashen.
Have you made your choice now that you know?
I have. He squares his shoulders as a group of scribe cadets run by, their hoods in disarray, panic written on their faces.
Hmm.
She dismisses Dane with a single sound, then looks at Zayden. And so the war of the father becomes that of the son. It is you, right? Stealing the weaponry, arming the very enemy trying to rip us apart.
Regret letting me into the quadrant yet?
He keeps his voice deceptively calm, but there are shadows rising along the tunnel walls.
No.
Her gaze drops to me.
Stay alive, or this all will have been for nothing.
She skims the backs of her fingers along my swollen face.
I'd tell you to take Arnica and see a healer, but you already know that.
Your father made sure you'd know everything you needed or where to find it.
You're all that's left of him, you know.
But I'm not. Mira has his laugh, his warmth, and Brennan.
She doesn't know about Brennan, and in this moment I have no regrets about keeping that secret.
The smile she gives me is tight and so full of sadness that I wonder if I'm hallucinating. It falls as quickly as it appeared. And she turns away from us, headed back to the stairwell that will carry her up the main campus.
Oh, and Violet, she calls back over her shoulder. Sorengales walk or fly off the battlefield, but they're never carried.
Unbelievable.
I watch until she disappears up the stairwell.
No wonder you're so warm and fuzzy, Violet, Garrick mutters. We're leaving,
Zayden announces. Gather the marked ones and meet us at the flight field.
No, I shake my head.
Zayden looks at me like I've sprouted a few more limbs.
We just talked about this. We can't stay here and I won't leave you. Not just the marked ones, I clarify. If Markham is gone and most of the leadership is flying for the border, then it's our only chance.
To leave?
Zayden lifts his brows. Good, then we're in agreement. To give everyone a choice. I glance at the empty tunnel. They're going to lock this place down once the cadre returns, once they know they can't stop the spread of information, and our friends. My head shakes. We have to give them a choice, Zayden, or we're no better than leadership. Zayden narrows his eyes. Dragons will vouch for the ones who want to leave for the right reasons, I whisper. He grits his teeth, but nods.
Fine.
It won't be safe here for you. Not after what you just did. I look to Dane and lift my brows. It's one thing to protect me in private, or to face down my mother, whom he's known his entire life. It's another to be known as the rider who ripped this place apart.
Not that it will be safe for him where we're going. Garrick glances between Dane and Zayden. You can't be serious. We're going to trust this guy?
If he wants our trust, he'll earn it, Zayden says.
A muscle in Dane's jaw flexes, but he nods.
Guess my last official act as wing leader will be to call a formation. That's where the leadership is now, trying to hide the bodies of over a dozen dead wyvern.
Dane finishes, his voice carrying over the courtyard a half hour later as we stand on the dais in front of formation, the other wing leaders to his right. The sun has fallen beneath the peaks behind us, but there's more than enough light for me to see the shock, the disbelief on the face of almost every rider. It's only the marked ones and my squad who don't begin to argue amongst themselves. Some quiet, some outright yelling.
Was this what you had in mind? Zayden asks me, his gaze swinging over the crowd.
Not exactly, I admit, leaning heavily on him but managing to stay on my feet. My uniform is clean, my rucksack packed, and I'm wrapped and braced from ankle to broken arm. But more than one cadet is staring at my face. After a quick look in the mirror, I understand why. Nolan must have only mended the most severe of my injuries, because my face is a collage of new, purple-black bruises and older greenish ones, and the pattern only continues beneath the cover of my uniform. Zayden damn near shook the entire time it took for me to change.
If you don't believe me, ask your dragons, Dane shouts.
If their dragons agree to tell them, Tarn says on his way back from the Vale.
I'd finally trusted my mother enough to drink the antidote about 10 minutes ago, which, Tarn had claimed, was the only logical move. And he bonded me for my intelligence, after all. What has the Empyrean decided? We aren't the only ones making choices tonight.
It will be up to the individual dragon. They will not interfere, nor will they punish those who choose to leave and take their clutches and hatchlings with them.
It's better than the alternative, which was full-scale slaughter of the dragons choosing to fight. Are you really okay? I ask him again. The bond between us feels strange, like he's holding back more than usual.
I lost Solas in a network of caves while I was hunting him, so I was unable to kill him and Varish myself for their actions. When I do find him, I will prolong his suffering before death.
I understand the feeling. And Andarna?
Being made ready for flight. We'll pick her up on our way out.
He hesitates.
Prepare yourself. She still sleeps.
Knots of apprehension twist in my stomach.
What is wrong? What aren't you telling me?
The elders have never seen an adolescent remain in the dreamless sleep this long.
My heart plummets.
You're lying!
Aura Bynehaven shouts, snapping my attention back to the current situation as she charges toward Dane, blade in hand. Garrick steps into her path, drawing his sword.
I have no problem adding to my body count for the day, Bynehaven.
Heaton draws their axe at the base of the steps, the purple flames dyed into their hair, matching the shade of my pinky finger.
and faces the formation alongside Emery, who already has his sword ready, with Sienna protecting his back. Zayden was busy for the 5 days I spent in that cell. He came back with every graduate who bears a rebellion relic and a good share of their classmates, but not all.
We'd better hurry this along, I look up at Zayden. The professors are going to be here any minute.
The distraction Bodhi engineered in the flight field bought us time to meet without teachers noticing, but not much, especially considering that Devera, Kayori, Carr, and Emeterio are among those on campus still.
By all means, Zayden replies, a look of boredom on his face. Feel free to convince them.
Share the memory of Resson, but nothing further, I tell Tarn. It's the easiest way for them all to have the same information.
I loathe that idea.
He's complained before that sharing memories outside of a mating bond isn't exactly comfortable.
Have a better one?
Tarn grumbles, and I can see the moment it happens. There's a ripple through formation of tilted heads and gasps.
There we go.
I shift my weight to the less injured knee, and Zayden's hand tightens around my waist, leaving his dominant arm free. Zayden sighs.
I guess that's one way to accomplish the goal, though I wish you'd left some parts out.
Parts like Liam's death.
It's true! Someone in second wing yells, stepping out of formation and stumbling in shock. What the hell are you talking about? Another shouts, looking at the rest in confusion. If your dragons don't choose, Dane starts, but his voice is overpowered by the outbreak of mayhem within their ranks.
How's it going there, wing leader?
Sarcasm drips from Zayden's tone.
You think you can do better?
Dane turns a slow glare his way.
Can you stand on your own?
Zayden asks me. I nod, grimacing through the sharp bites of protest all throughout my body as I straighten. He steps forward, raises his arms, and shadows rush in from the wall at our back, engulfing the formation and us in complete darkness. There's a glimmer of a caress across my cheek, right where it's split, to what feels like bone, and more than one cadet screams.
Enough!
Zayden bellows, his voice amplified, shaking the very dais under our feet. The courtyard falls silent. Shadows recede in a rush, leaving more than one cadet gawking at Zayden.
Fucking show off,
Garrick mutters over his shoulder, still squared off with Aura. A corner of Zayden's mouth rises.
You are all riders, he shouts. All chosen, all threshed, all responsible for what happens next. Act like it. What Atos has told you is the truth. Whether or not you choose to believe it is up to you. If your dragon has chosen not to share what some have seen, then your choice has been made for you.
Wingbeats fill the air, and a murmur rises among the formation. I lock eyes with Rhee where she stands at the head of our squad. She nods subtly toward the rotunda. I glance that way and catch a trio of figures in cream, led by Jacinia, all carrying packs. Thank gods they came. Now I just need 3 dragons willing to carry them.
Already taken care of, Tarn promises, and only this once.
This once is all we need to save their lives.
Wars do not wait for your readiness, Zayden continues. And make no mistake about it, we are at war. A war in which we are outmatched not only in strength of Signet, but air superiority as a whole.
Is this your idea of a pep talk?
If they need to be roused, they shouldn't be coming with us.
Fair point.
Whatever you decide in the next hour will determine the course, and perhaps the end of your life. If you come with us, I cannot promise you'll live. But if you stay, I guarantee you will die fighting for the wrong side. The Venin will not stop at the border. They will drain every ounce of magic in Poromiel, and then they'll come for the hatching grounds in the Vale.
If we go with you, they'll hunt us down as traitors,
a voice from Third Wing calls out.
And we would be.
Defining yourself as a traitor requires declaring your allegiance, Zayden counters. And as for hunting us down,
his shoulders rise and fall with a deep breath.
They won't be able to find us.
My heart starts to pound with the growing roar of wing beats in the air. The door to the gauntlet and flight field flies open, and a dozen professors rush out, anger and shock lining their faces.
What have you done? Carr shouts, running for us, his wispy hair flying in all directions as he lifts his hands. You'll end us all over who? People you've never met. I won't allow it. Bodhi, Zayden orders as Carr reaches third wing. Fire erupts from Carr's hands, streaming toward the dais, and my stomach drops. Time seems to slow as Bodhi steps forward and twists his hand like he's turning a dial. The fire dies, extinguishing like it was never there and leaving Carr staring at his hands.
You taught us well, Professor, Bodhi says, holding his hand in place. Maybe a little too well.
Damn, he can counter Signet's. Zayden tells me. Well, that's fucking terrifying. The rest of the professors look upward as dragons fill the skyline, their wings flaring on approach. Green, orange, red, brown, blue. I look up, spotting Tarn's rapid descent. Black. Zayden grabs my waist as the walls shake under the weight of the mass landing. Claws dig in, shredding the masonry as dozens of dragons, maybe more, perch on every available space. Some fill the mountainside behind us, and others claim the top of the turrets in the quadrant, hovering like living sculptures.
We won't stop you, Devera says to Zayden, then shifts to where her own dragon perches beside the parapet. In fact, some of us have been waiting to join you.
Really?
Bodhi grins.
Who do you think left the news about Zolia all over Battle Brief? She nods.
A smile lifts my mouth. She's exactly who I've always thought she is.
We're leaving within the hour, Zayden calls out. Your choice is as simple as it is personal. You can defend Navarre, or you can fight for the continent.
We're in the air less than an hour later, flying south in the biggest riot I've ever seen. 200 dragons and 101 riders, nearly half the quadrant, strong. And more are coming, taking a slower route with hatchlings. Tarn had lain in front of the dais and begrudgingly allowed Zayden to help me into the saddle. But we made it. He hooked onto Andarna, the smaller black dragon's body frighteningly limp with sleep. And now we're flying. I sleep most of the trip, too. Draped across the front of my saddle, my body claiming the rest it sorely needs to knit itself back together. It was too hectic to catch every face. But I'm proud that every single member of my squad is with us, even the first years who are still fighting to keep their seats. They hold them into the morning and all throughout the next day, the riot pushing itself to the limit. Marked ones take position at the edges of the flight formation, hiding us from Melgrin's sight should he decide to battle us. And we fly the least populated route possible. But it's hard to disguise a veritable cloud of dragons, even at this altitude. It must not have been just leadership that were pulled to the border. We don't encounter a single patrol as we cross into Tirindor, flying high over the cliffs of Draelor onto the plateau.
We're almost there,
Tarn tells me as we pass over the crystal waters of the Beetha River.
I'm all right. Don't bother lying to me. I can feel it all. The exhaustion, the pain, the crackling of unset bone in your left arm. The chapped wounds on your face, the throbbing in your left knee that only eases.
Point made. I lift in the saddle, trying to alleviate some of it. You're the one who hasn't stopped for water in 12 hours.
And I could fly another 12 if need be. You're an incredibly needy species compared to ours.
By the time we approach Aracia, I'm all but dead in the saddle. Tarn and Sigael fly ahead, breaking from formation as we fly over the town, heading for Ryerson House, while the rest of the riot flies for the valley high above.
You cannot make the hike down in your condition, Tarn agrees.
I'm too fucking tired to fight him.
My body jolts in protest when Taren flares his wings, the change in momentum sending me deeper into the seat as he lands gently in consideration of Andarna in the middle of the courtyard in front of Ryerson House. Taren's head turns toward the door as it's thrown open, and mine follows, slow from weakness and lack of sleep.
"Violet!" Brennan shouts, running down the marble steps. I undo the buckle of my saddle and force myself to dismount, despite the agony of feeling my bones grate against one another. Cradling my splintered arm, I slide down Taren's foreleg right into Zayden's arms and nearly crumple on the spot.
"I've got you,"
he whispers against my hair, supporting me against his side as we turn to face Ryerson House and the rapidly approaching furious face of my brother. Taren launches behind me before I can turn to see Andarna.
"What the fuck did you get her into this time?"
Brennan shouts at Zayden.
"He got me out, I promise."
"Oh? Then why is it she's half dead every time you bring her to me?"
The look Brennan levels on Zayden makes me reconsider which of them might be the more violent one. Brennan reaches for my face but stops just short of touching me.
"Oh, gods, Violet, you're... What did they do to you?"
"I'm all right," I say once more. I step forward, and Brennan hugs me carefully. "I could probably use some mending." His head tilts as the sound of the wind approaches a dull roar, and I follow his line of sight as the massive riot approaches the town, en route to the valley.
"What have you two done?"
"Ask your sister," Zayden responds. Brennan looks down at me, his eyes wide with shock and a touch of fear.
"I mean,"
I try to force a smile, but it only splits my lip yet again.
"You did say that you needed riders."
Part 2. An excerpt from On Tirish History, A Complete Accounting, 3rd edition, by Captain Fitzgibbons. Half palace, half barracks, but entirely a fortress, Ryerson House has never been breached by army. It survived countless sieges and 3 full-out assaults before falling under the flame of the very dragons it existed to serve.
Chapter 37.
Bold choice to move so far from what you perceive as the safety of the wards,
the sage says, holding me immobile, my feet just inches from the frozen ground of my own personal torture chamber. I'm trapped in this fucking nightmare again, but at least I made it farther across the sunburned field this time.
Of course, again,
the dark wielder hisses, his face contorting into a sneer.
You will never be free of me. I will hunt you to the ends of the continent and beyond.
Throat working, I struggle to relax, to calm my heart and change my breathing in hopes of waking myself up. But it's only my mind that knows this isn't real. My body is very much locked into the illusion.
You can only hunt me to the wards, I croak. Yet you sleep beyond them.
A grotesque smile tilts his cracked mouth.
And the longest night has yet to pass.
He reaches for a poison-tipped dagger. I blink, my heart slamming against my ribs for the second it takes for me to shed the vivid nightmare and recognize my surroundings. This isn't a wind-torn field or a cold, blood-soaked cell in Besgaeth. It's Zayden's light-filled bedroom in Aracia. Big windows, thick velvet drapes, wall-to-wall bookshelves, massive bed. I'm safe. Varish isn't waiting on the other side of the door to break me again because he's dead. I killed him. I'm still alive. For the first time in days, there's no pain when I breathe in, or when I stretch under the thick down comforter, or even when I twist away from the sun-drenched window to face Zayden. Now this is a view I could be more than happy to wake up to for the rest of my life. He's asleep on his stomach, his arms folded under his pillow, his hair falling over his forehead, his perfectly sculpted lips parted slightly.
The covers only rise to the small of his back, leaving me with miles of inked skin to admire. I almost never get to see him like this. Never get to simply look at him. And I take advantage of every single second, studying the angles of his muscled arm, up to his rounded shoulder and across the faint silver lines that mark his back. He's always more than enough to elevate my pulse, but asleep and fully unguarded, he steals my breath. Gods, is he beautiful. And he loves me. The black fabric of my thin strapped nightgown bunches slightly as I shift up onto my knees, and the comforter falls away when I reach for him. I trace the silver scars with my fingertips and don't bother counting the lines. There are 107 of them, representative of the marked ones he took responsibility for to give them a chance at life in the quadrant. For all that he says, he isn't soft, isn't kind. He's also the only man I know whose back is covered in promises made for other people. Even if his reasoning was preparing for this war we're about to wage, he still risked his own life by vouching for them. He risked his life to free me. Dane and I never would have made it out of there alive without him. Alive. I'm alive, and that's exactly how I want to feel. I lean forward and press my lips to his warm skin, kissing the scar closest to me, wishing I could undo the damage my mother did to him. Violet. His sleep rough voice makes my lips curve and my blood heat. His muscles ripple as he stirs awake, and I take my time, kissing a slow path up the expanse of his back. He inhales sharply, his arms tensing when I reach the place his neck meets his shoulder. Rolling, he flips to his back and pulls me astride in one smooth motion. Good morning, I smile, settling my hips over his. My breath catches at the feel of him beneath me, hard and ready. I could get used to waking up like this. He looks at me with a hunger that mirrors my own, and his hand slides from my hip, over the curve of my waist, and up between the peaks of my breasts to cup the side of my neck gently, carefully. Me too. My pulse quickens as I lean down and set my lips to his throat. But we shouldn't get used to it, I tell him between kisses, working my way to his chest. They'll probably put me with the other cadets tonight. Last night, this had been the most private place for Brennan to mend me, and I'd wanted to sleep next to Zayden too badly to argue against his suggestion of staying after I'd finally gotten the chance to bathe. This is my house. He spears his fingers into my hair, his other hand flexing on my hip when I ghost my lips over the 3-inch scar above his heart. And I sleep where you sleep, which is preferably in this very large, very comfortable bed. You should still be sleeping. I slide down his body, my hands roaming and stroking as I kiss every ridge of the incredible abdominals that tighten beneath my mouth. His eyes are my favorite part of him, but damn if the chiseled line above his hip that disappears into his waistband isn't a close second. I follow it with my tongue. Violet. Zayden's voice is low. I melt instantly liquid when he says my name like that. And right now is no exception. Good plan. I slide my hand under his waistband and wrap my fingers around the thick length of him. How is every inch of this man perfect? There has to be a flaw somewhere. You're not recovered enough for the things I want to do to you, he growls. My core clenches at the warning. The promise, whatever it is, I want it. I want him. Yes, I am. All mended, remember? The craving for him overpowers any lingering exhaustion. A heady sense of power floods my system when I stroke my thumb over the head of his cock and his hips buck in response. There's nothing sexier than watching his control fray. Nothing hotter than knowing I'm the one who brings him to the breaking point.
and I need him to do exactly that. Break. To lose the gentle kisses and cautious touches and take me with the full force of what he's capable of. No holding back, no soft and slow.
Are you trying to kill me?
His grip tightens in my hair, and I drag my gaze to his, finding a satisfying, wild glint in his eyes. Need coils low in my stomach, my body remembering what follows that kind of look. He hasn't even touched me, and I'm already aching. Yes, I answer honestly, then lower my head, keeping our eyes locked as I swirl my tongue around his tip. His guttural moan sets my blood on fire, and I wrap my hand around his base and take him deep.
Violet.
His eyes slam shut, and he throws his head back, his neck working as it arches, his body tensing like he's fighting the pleasure of it, even as his hips jerk for more.
That feels so fucking good.
I hum in approval and work him harder, flicking my tongue along the ridge where he's most sensitive with every bob of my head.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
He tugs at my hair, his breaths coming faster and faster.
You have to stop or I'm going to lose it on you.
His stomach flexes as he lifts his head to watch me,
and I'm not sure I can be gentle.
Lose it. Sounds excellent to me.
I don't want gentle. Mending bones is an instant. You're still healing.
I suck him deeper.
He growls. You really want this? I want you, feral.
The thought barely leaves my head before he pounces, lifting me off him and rolling me to my back. Then his mouth is on mine, kissing me hard and deep. It's all tangled tongues and nipping teeth, carnal and fierce, and exactly what I need. He slides his hand up my inner thigh, and then his fingers are right there, pushing my underwear to the side to stroke and tease before dragging them down my legs. I yank my nightgown over my head as he strips his sleeping pants off.
Yes. Gods, yes. He's all I can see, all I can feel, as he settles back between my thighs, the head of his cock nudging my entrance.
His hand strokes over my newly mended ribs, and his eyes flare, his gaze jumping to mine.
We should, please, Satan, I cup his cheek, please.
He lifts my hand and kisses the palm, then the place on my forearm that had been fractured. His brow knits for a heartbeat as he scans my body like he's looking for the safest places to touch me, like he can still see every bruise, every break. My stomach knots at the thought that he might stop.
Feral.
I remind him in a whisper. His gaze finds mine, and the way he smiles, raising the corner of his mouth into that arrogant smirk I love so much, makes my heart pound. Gripping my hips, he flips me over, then yanks my ass into the air, setting me on my knees.
You will tell me if it's too much.
It's not a request. I nod, my fingers tangling in the sheets. Then he lines us up and rolls his hips, pushing in and in and in until he's so deep I can feel him everywhere. I moan at the stretch, the fit, the utter perfection of him, muffling the sound in my pillow. He grabs the pillow and throws it to the floor.
I want them to hear,
he says, withdrawing slowly, stroking every inch of me, then slamming home again.
Gods, you're fucking perfect.
I cry out. He feels so damn good. There are hundreds of people in this palace of a house. How I can string together more than two words is beyond me. He leans over my back, then drags his teeth across the shell of my ear.
And I want them all to know you're mine.
I don't argue with his logic. I can't. Not when he slides almost all the way out of me, then snaps his hips, driving out every thought. He sets a hard, deep rhythm, turning me into pure, burning pleasure. This is exactly what I needed, for him to take me, to consume me, to breathe life into me. His fingers dig into my hips, pulling me into every driving thrust, and there's no way to rock back, to gain leverage, to force him to quicken his pace. I can only accept what he gives, surrender completely, and simply feel. He winds me up, building the coiling pressure within me tighter and tighter, my cries filling the room along with his growls and whispered words of praise. It just gets better, hotter, sweeter until there is no world outside him, no existence beyond us. All that matters is the next thrust.
Satan,
His name on my lips is a plea as the tension spirals so tight it borders on pain, power rising within me, white hot and uncontrollable. His hand rises along my stomach to my sternum, then lifts me upright so my back meets his chest. I turn my head, tangling my fingers in his hair, and he fuses our mouths, kissing me breathless while he drives into me again and again and again, his movements growing less and less controlled. He's close. You're alive. His voice wraps around my mind as his fingers dip between my thighs and slide over my clit. Alive and strong and mine. Gods, he knew what I needed without even telling me. My thighs lock, then tremble. It's too much and exactly enough. And you're mine. I gasp for breath, my pulse racing as he strokes me right over the edge. And I fall. I absolutely shatter. Light flashes and is quickly snuffed by cooling darkness as wave after wave of bliss rolls over me. He locks his arms around me, holding me close as he shudders, tumbling into his own release. We stay like that, wrapped around each other in every way possible, our breaths ragged as we come back to reality. A reality in which I wasn't remotely quiet. My cheeks flush even hotter. You want me to sleep in here with you? I ask once I can form words. Every night. He kisses me softly. You might not be able to ward it yet, but you'd better sound shield this room today. I lift my brows so he knows I mean it. His mouth curves into a heart-stopping smile. Already done. I roll my eyes. Of course it is. By the time we emerge from Zayden's room an hour later, there are cadets everywhere. Words fail as we descend the right side of the sweeping double staircase to the foyer.
Noisier than the last time we were here, Zayden supplies, glancing over the crowd. Some riders stand in groups while others sit along the walls.
Every single one of them wears an expression that's a variation of exactly how I'm feeling right now. What the hell did we do? Aracia wasn't ready for this, and yet I brought them anyway. Zayden may have risked the revolution by coming for me, but I smacked a giant target on it. Can we even fit all these riders here? I ask Zayden as we pick our way through the mayhem.
There are 100 barracks rooms between the top 3 floors, he tells me, and that doesn't account for the family quarters on the 2nd. The question is if they're all serviceable. Not everything has been repaired and rebuilt.
Violet! Rhiannon waves from where she stands with our squad, waiting in front of the archway that leads into the great hall. Her gaze sweeps over me. You look better.
I feel better, I assure her, noticing that Imogen isn't with them. What's going on?
I was hoping you'd know.
She glances over our squad, then leans in, lowering her voice.
They took a quick roll last night, put us in our rooms, and fed us breakfast this morning. But that was an hour ago. Now we're just,
she gestures to the foyer, waiting.
I think we may have caught them off guard, I admit, guilt hollowing my stomach.
Let's go find out exactly how off guard, Zayden says. We'll get some answers for you, Rhiannon.
He gestures toward a hallway.
We need to meet with the assembly.
If you could just make that sound a little less foreboding, I pause when we pass Arik.
He's standing off to the side of the squad, his arms folded over his chest, watching everything and everyone around him.
What now, Sorengale? He asks, his mouth tightening.
He isn't asking about the schedule, Zayden says.
Picked up on that, I glance from Zayden to Arik. Your secret is safe with us.
So presumptuous.
I shoot Zayden a glare. It's up to you if you want to tell anyone about your family. Right, Ryerson?
A muscle in Zayden's jaw ticks, but he nods.
You swear it? Arik bites out.
I do, I promise.
It's all I get to say before Zayden takes my hand and tugs me down the wide hallway, where the crowd finally thins.
I think I may have fucked up, I whisper, apprehension growing with each step we take.
We may have fucked up,
he says, squeezing my hand and stopping us in front of a tall wooden door with more than a few angry raised voices behind it.
Doesn't mean we weren't right.
The last time we were here, the people in that room wanted to lock me up as a security threat. My chest tightens. I'm starting to think maybe they were right.
Only 4 of them did,
he says, his fingers poised on the black metal door handle. And I guarantee they're more pissed at me than they are at you. I didn't exactly answer their summons last night after Brennan mended you.
He pulls open the door, and the raised voices become almost shrill as I follow him in.
You've exposed everything we've worked for,
a woman shouts.
Without so much as a vote from this council,
a man agrees. I made the call, Zayden says once we're clear of the doorway. You want to yell? Yell at me. 6 members of the assembly look our way from their chairs at the long table as Bodhi, Garrick, and Imogen stand in front of them as if on trial. We're all that's left of the squad that fought in Resson.
We're happy to address your choices, Lieutenant Ryerson, Suri says, though I'm not sure what the general's daughter is doing here.
Well, the general's son is right here,
Brennan counters from the other end of the table as Zayden and I walk forward, putting ourselves between Garrick and Imogen.
You know what I meant,
the woman fires back, shooting Brennan a frustrated look.
The massive, empty armchair Zayden had sprawled across our last meeting has been moved near the others.
Guess they're still waiting on someone. I glance at the high, intricately constructed back and the figure of a sleeping dragon perched on its pointed tip, then do a double take. In this lighting, I realize that one half is a rich, polished walnut, and the other has a black sheen to it, as if someone polished and sealed burned firewood, as if the chair has been half burned. Because it probably was.
And I think I know why she's here.
Hawknose glares with his one eye, like I'm something that needs to be scraped away from his boot. But at least he doesn't reach for the sword at his side when he looks pointedly at our joined hands. I pull mine from Zayden's grasp. He sighs like I'm his biggest problem and snatches it back.
What's done is done.
You can stay in here and chastise us all day,
or you can figure out what to do with the 100 riders we brought you.
You didn't bring us riders. You brought us cadets,
Suri shouts, pounding her fist on the table.
What the hell are we supposed to do with them?
Such theatrics are above you, Suri.
Felix scratches his beard and all but rolls his eyes at her.
Though the question is valid.
I'd suggest you call a formation and divide them into equal wings, for starters,
Zayden suggests, his tone dripping with boredom. Though they may prefer to stay intact, from what I've seen, Fourth Wing has the largest numbers.
Because you were their wing leader, Brennan states. They were used to following you.
And Atos, Zayden replies begrudgingly. He's the one who called the formation after killing the Vice Commandant.
Atos is another matter.
Battleaxe runs her finger over the flat side of her weapon like its habit.
He's confined to quarters until we can ascertain his loyalty, as are the scribes. Kath is enough to vouch for Dane's loyalty, I argue, and Jacinia is the only reason we have Warwick's journal.
My hand tightens on Zayden's when all 6 of the riders startle with surprise.
You do still have Warwick's journal, right?
You have a journal from Warwick?
Battleaxe leans forward.
As in, first 6 Warwick?
I do. Jacinia helped Violet and her squad steal the journal for instructions on how to use the wardstone. Zayden says, turning his gaze on Brennan. And she was right. It contains cryptic instructions in Old Lucerish that need detailed, precise translation. But it's better than nothing. I was supposed to bring it to you, but got sidetracked by her capture.
Dad never taught me Old Lucerish, only Tirish, Brennan says to me, lines forming between his brows, and a quiet woman with shiny black hair and wide-set eyes keeps her diamond-sharp gaze on him.
But if you can translate it, then there's a chance we can secure...
Secure? Hawknose snaps. You bring 100 riders and 200 dragons here and have the nerve to say that word?
His eyes narrow on me.
You may as well have handed Melgrin a map of our location. Or was that what she was truly after?
Here we fucking go, Imogen says under her breath.
Violet risked her life to help us, Zayden responds, and nearly lost it doing so. She should be confined and questioned,
Hawknose suggests.
Go near my sister, and I'll cut out your other eye, Ulysses,
Brennan warns, leaning forward and glaring down the table.
She's been questioned enough for 2 lifetimes. That doesn't change the fact that she's ruined us,
Battleaxe declares.
We've already doubled patrols to the border, which leaves no one here to fight should Melgrin launch an attack on us.
She swings a finger at Felix.
And don't start with your Melgrin doesn't know we're here. All the rebellion signets on the continent can't hide a riot the size of a thunderhead. We have no wards, no forge, and children running amok in the hallways.
Cadets who are acting with more composure than you are. Zayden tilts his head. Get a grip.
Melgrin isn't coming. Even if he knew where we are, which he doesn't, he can't risk his forces coming after us when the kingdom is reeling from wyvern carcasses we left up and down the border. Half the riders he plans on having in 3 years are here. He might want to kill us, but he can't afford to. And as for Violet,
he lets go of my hand and rips at the buttons of his flight jacket, then tugs his neckline down, exposing the scar on his chest.
If you want to confine her, question her, then it's me you start with. I bear the responsibility for her and any decision she makes. Remember?
Gravity shifts as I stare at that thin silver line and its precise edges. It's...
Gods! It's the same length as the ones on his back.
Zayden isn't responsible for just the marked ones anymore. He's responsible for me. Responsible for my choices, my loyalties, not to Navarre, like the marked ones, but to Erasia. Imogen tried to tell me that day on the flight field, but I didn't pick up on it.
When did you do that?
I ask. About 2 seconds after I put you in Brennan's arms after Resin. My gaze falls to the floor as they continue to shout in Tirish. I brought the cadets here. I was the one who got caught stealing Lyra's journal. I'm the one who forced Zayden's hand, forced them all into this situation.
Then you will consider them my guests.
Zayden's words drag me out of my self-pity. Shadows fill the floor and curl around the dais.
I do not ask permission of you, of anyone, to bring guests into my own home.
Zayden's tone cools to glacial. Garrick swears under his breath and rests his hand on the hilt of one of his swords.
Zayden!
Ulysses starts.
Or did you forget that this is my house?
Zayden tilts his head to the side and stares at them in the same way Sigael studies prey.
My life is tethered to Violet's, so if you want me in that fucking chair, you'll accept her.
Ulysses' skin blotches while I feel the blood rush from mine.
His chair. The empty one.
He's the 7th.
Holy shit. I knew this was his house, of course. But it never really registered. This is all Zayden's. No noble has claimed the Duchy of Erasia. They all think the land is ruined or worse, cursed. It's all his.
Fine. The quiet woman says, her voice soft and calm. We will trust Violet Sorengale.
but that doesn't help us arm the drifts without an operational forge. In winning this first battle with Navarre by taking half the Riders' Quadrant, you may have lost us this war.
And what do we do with all these cadets?
Battle Axe asks warily, rubbing the bridge of her nose.
Gods, you brought us Atos and scribes. It's not like we can send them out to battle Wyvern and Venin.
I also brought you four professors, and it's not like you're without your share of knowledge, Zayden replies. I've already questioned the scribes. They can be trusted, and Kath vouches for Atos. As for the other cadets, I suggest you get them back into class.
Something shimmers, curling around the archives I keep in my head.
Violet?
Her soft voice rattles me to my very core, and I grasp Zayden's arm to stay upright. Relief, joy, wonder, it all weakens my knees and stings my eyes. For the first time in months, I feel whole. A smile spreads across my face. And Darna.
An excerpt from The Journal of Warwick of Luceris, translated by Cadet Violet Sorengale. With all we've sacrificed for this kingdom, we'd better be able to defend it. Chapter 38. The valley above Aracia looks eerily similar to the last time I was here, as though fall at this elevation is meaningless, when there are clear signs of winter approaching in the town beneath us. But unlike last time, there are dragons everywhere. The jagged outcroppings of rock above us, the mouths of the caves to the west, the wide valley to the east, everywhere. And two of the biggest stand before me like bookends with Andarna between them.
I thought you said she was awake, I whisper at Tarn, as if my voice might wake her.
Like there isn't a giant brown stomping his way past the copse of trees where Andarna is napping. Her body curved into an S shape. Grass moves in front of her snout with every gust of her exhale, and she looks quite content with her scorpion tail curled around her. And kind of green? No, her scales are still black. It must be an adolescent thing that they're so shiny she reflects some of the color around her.
An hour ago,
Tarn chuffs, and I'm pretty sure Sigale just rolled her eyes.
It took me an hour to get out of that meeting, and then I had to hike that cliff of a trail.
I shouldn't wake her. The responsible action would be none, to let her sleep off the remnants of her nearly three-month-long dragon coma. But I've missed her so damn... Gold eyes flash open. Relief nearly brings me to my knees. She's awake. I grin and feel my world right itself.
Hi.
Violet.
And Darna lifts her head and a puff of steam blows back the loosened strands of my long braid.
I meant to stay awake.
That's all right. Tarn says you'll be nodding out for the next week or so. Stepping forward, I reach up to scratch her scaly jawline.
You were out a long time. It felt like nothing.
She arches her neck so I can get the area beneath her chin. Trust me, it wasn't. I step back and really look at her. If I had to guess, I'd say she's almost two-thirds the size of Sigale.
I think you're bigger.
Naturally, she huffs, digging her claws into the ground as she stands upright. I retreat another couple of steps, looking higher and higher as she shakes off the sleep, her wings rustling as she swivels her head, taking in the valley.
What do you want to do? Fly? Take a walk?
There's so much I need to tell her.
Food. We should seek sheep.
She flares her wings out and then stumbles forward, just like she did in the height of summer. Shit. I scramble backward through the cumbersome grass, rushing to keep from being sliced by Andarna's claws as she finds her balance.
Could you not crush our human?
Tarn barks.
I wasn't even close,
Andarna snaps in return, with a quick glare his direction as she flares her wings with the same result.
I told you to be patient,
Tarn chides. The look she levels on him makes Sigail huff in what I think is appreciation, and Andarna rolls her shoulders, digs her claws in, and tries again to raise her wings. My stomach drops, my mind spinning so quickly I can barely catch a whirring thought as my gaze flicks between the two wings. Her left one doesn't fully extend. It makes it halfway, but the remainder of the black webbing never pulls taut. She attempts once, twice, then bares her sharp teeth and hisses steam when it doesn't snap into place on the third attempt. Oh, gods, something's wrong. I have no fucking clue what to say or do. I'm speechless, powerless to help. Fuck. Am I supposed to ask her if she's all right, or do I ignore it, as I would a battle wound on an adult? Is the wing broken, in need of mending, or is it part of the growth process? Andarna's head whips back toward mine, and her eyes narrow.
I am not broken.
My heart sinks.
I never said you were,
I whisper.
Shit, shit, shit. I hurt her feelings.
Speech isn't necessary when I can hear your thoughts. I am no more broken than you are.
Her lip curls and her teeth flash. Ouch.
I'm sorry. That wasn't what I meant to imply.
The thought is barely a whisper.
Enough. Tarn lowers his head to her level. She is allowed to be concerned for you, as you are for her. Now go eat before hunger overpowers common sense.
Sigail stalks past me on the right, the ground lightly shuddering beneath my feet as she heads for the meadow to the east. Fierge gets out of her way.
There is a herd that is far better hunted on foot, Tarn says, a soft growl vibrating in his throat. Follow Sigail.
Andarna tucks her wings, flexes her claws, then walks around me wordlessly, heading for Sigail. I turn to watch them walk away.
Adolescence, Tarn grumbles. They're insufferable when hungry.
Her wing,
I whisper, wrapping my arms around my stomach. His sigh ripples the grass around me.
The elders and I will work with her to strengthen the muscles, but there are complications.
Like? My chest tightens, and I glance up at him.
Put your shields up and block her out as much as possible.
I focus, shielding out that pearlescent bond I now recognize as Andarna. Done.
There are many reasons younglings do not leave the Vale. The mass expenditure of energy in Resen forced her into a rapid rate of growth. You know that. But if it had happened here, or at Basgaeth, where she could have been quickly, safely sheltered for the dreamless sleep, perhaps she would have grown as usual.
His tone is enough to raise the hairs on the back of my neck. He's never this careful with his words, never this careful with my feelings.
But we flew that critical day between Resen and Aresha,
he continues.
And then we waited again to fly to Basgaeth. And even then she woke several times. The elders have never seen a dragon remain dreamless that long. And now her growth is unpredictable. There is a second set of muscles along the fronts of our wings that forms during our growth. Hers did not. The elders believe she'll still fly, in time.